I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up later in our Moms Conversation, we will pick up on an important conversation we know many people are having around bullying. Last week on this program, we heard from a 15-year-old who had been bullied at school. Today, we'll hear how his mom felt about the fact that she first heard about this when he was interviewed for a documentary. But first, we want to follow new developments in that disturbing story out of Central Florida that's now become a matter of national concern and has come to the attention of the U.S. Justice Department. It's about the shooting of Trayvon Martin, a 17-year-old African-American boy who was gunned down near the home he was visiting with his dad late last month. Trayvon was returning from a nearby store with a pack of candy and a can of tea when George Zimmerman, a Neighborhood Watch volunteer, called police from his car to report a suspicious guy, unquote.
This guy looks like he's up to no good, or he's on drugs or something. It's raining, and he's just walking around looking about.
Zimmerman was urged not to follow Martin, but he apparently ignored that. Shortly afterwards, neighbors flooded 911 dispatchers with reports of a loud scuffle and gunfire. Trayvon Martin died from a single gunshot to the chest. George Zimmerman told the police that he fired in self-defense. The Sanford Police Department said that there was not enough evidence to make an arrest. Now the U.S. Justice Department has opened an investigation, and the state attorney for the area plans to convene a grand jury in the case. This is a rapidly developing story, and earlier we spoke about the shooting with U.S. Representative Corrine Brown of Florida's 3rd Congressional District. She's a Democrat. The shooting occurred in her district. She was one of several members of Congress who called for the Justice Department to get involved in the case. Congresswoman, welcome to the program.
Thank you
so much for speaking with us. As we said, after your urging, the Congressional Black and Hispanic caucuses urged the Justice Department to investigate. They have now agreed to do so. Why did you feel it was critical for the Justice Department to get involved at this point?
First of all, let me just say that it's not going to be any positive ending. We have to take this as a teachable moment, a learning moment, and how can we ensure that this never happens again? And one of the things I feel very strongly about is that we must have faith in the system. We got to feel that the system is fair for everyone involved. And there is no one that feels that it's been any kind of fairness in the system.
What is it that most troubles you here? I mean, there are reports. We mentioned that the police told Mr. Zimmerman, you can hear it on the 911 tapes, not to follow the young man, number one. And number two, there are witnesses who say that they believe their statements to the police were shaped in order to support this allegation of self-defense, and they say that's not what they said. What is it that troubles you the most?
How the police handled the entire matter. I met with them for over 2 hours on Friday. And it's very disturbing to me how it's been handled. The question is, how can we rectify? Because there are things that should have taken place when they took the statement. For example, was he drug tested? They drug tested Mr. Martin.
In the autopsy?
Yes, that's correct.
See if drugs were in his system, but they did not.
That's correct.
The shooter, Mr. Zimmerman.
Did you test him for alcohol? Did you give him a lie detector test? I mean, because Mr. Martin, the young man, cannot defend himself. And prior to my meeting with the police department, the 9/11 tapes weren't released. I asked that those tapes be released.
Why did you feel that was important?
Because we need to get as much of the story out in the public. Because, you know, we were only hearing one side. And like I said, it was disturbing to me how the police handled the entire affair. Now, keeping it in mind, this happened over almost a month ago, and I'm just finding out about it.
I was going to ask you that. How did you find out about this?
Students start calling me. Law students, community people start calling me. And in fact, one constituent came to Washington. And, you know, I met him at the airport, but he'd been to my office to tell me about it. White male. I'm finding parents concerned, brothers, sisters. It's a community that is very upset as to how this matter has been handled.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Congresswoman Corrine Brown about the death of Trayvon Martin, the black high school student who was shot and killed by a Neighborhood Watch volunteer.
And now, let me be clear. You say Neighborhood Watch self-appointed. Self-appointed. They didn't have no official Neighborhood Watch program. He appointed himself. as Neighborhood Watch. Obviously, he didn't go through the training, because the training indicate you followed the directions of the police department. The police department asked him to stand down. Why was he pursuing this young man? Was he in the act of doing anything other than walking while black? I mean, what was he doing? Coming from the store. He had candy and a soda, but he was looking suspicious.
I wanted to ask you about Mr. Zimmerman, who's 28 years old, as you said. His father sent a letter to the Orlando Sentinel saying that, number one, he's Latino. He comes from a multiracial family. He has a lot of black friends and associates. In essence, he's saying he's not a racist. I just wondered if you had any plans to meet with his family, or have they contacted you as well?
No, and I have no plans to meet with him. We want him to have a fair trial, but we want him to be arrested as we speak now. He still has that gun permit. The point of the matter is that it needs to be investigated by someone independent of the Sanford Police Department, the state. And for me, my confident level is definitely with the Justice Department.
I wanted to ask you about that, because the matter has already been sent to the state's attorney of Florida, given that the police department, as we've said, have declined to press charges, and there are concerns about their conduct in this case, as has been expressed by a number of witnesses and has been reported by a number of news organizations. Mm-hmm. Do you not have confidence in Florida's law enforcement authorities to handle this within the state?
My confidence lies with the U.S. Justice Department.
Because you feel why?
Because I am an African-American living in the United States of America. And as my mother said when I mentioned it to her, she says she thought all of this was behind us. It is not all behind us. This, to me, was really a hate crime.
Why do you say that?
Because if you listen to the tape, I mean, clearly because he was black, and he had called several times. He had this preconceived picture of black in this particular neighborhood, that he had a legitimate reason to be there.
You know, the irony, though, is that people we've talked to, so this is I don't know how familiar you are with this particular neighborhood, that we interviewed a Miami Herald reporter on Friday who was there. She said it's one of the most diverse neighborhoods she's ever been to. She said it's an extremely diverse neighborhood. People of all ethnic backgrounds live there.
That's correct. But keep in mind, if you look at the number of times he have called the police department, it seems a pattern, and it's always a black male. So it's kind of profiling. But the key is that you get an independent person that you feel confident that can shed some independent light on the situation.
As I understand it, the Department Civil Rights Division must prove beyond a reasonable doubt that a person acted intentionally and with a specific intent to do something which the law forbids around a civil rights violation, for example, that he acted with bias. But can they prosecute a murder as a murder?
At this point, I'm looking for an arrest and a charge and a court date.
So that these facts can then be investigated more fully.
That's correct.
Before we let you go, I wanted to ask you about the Stand Your Ground law, the Florida law that allows people to use force. I wanted to ask you if they reasonably believe it's necessary to defend themselves. It was enacted in 2005. Have you always opposed it? And did you foresee a situation like this?
Absolutely. And I understand it's been over 10 shootings and deaths under this statute, and they've found out maybe 6 of them, the person didn't have a gun. It's just the Wild Wild West, and that's what I felt when it was passed. Remember, I was a state legislator in Florida for 10 years, and to me, it was definitely someone looting during the hurricane, and this was the response of the state legislator to this particular law. And Florida is a tourist state, and I want to say one of the tourists that was visiting was, you know, shot and killed based on this law. I mean, clearly to me, it needs to be revisited.
I wanted to end where we began. You said that you hope this will be a teachable moment. Could you talk a little bit more about what you mean?
You know, here is a black youth, and the person had all kinds of preconceived notions about this youth. The key is, if you are going to be a neighborhood watch, then let's be trained properly on how to handle situations. To me, when the police said stand down, maybe he should have been more forceful in standing down. We're on the way. What was this youth doing in the 5 minutes between the time the police got there that you felt that you had to get out of your car and stop him, confront him, kill him? I mean, it's just ludicrous. I'm a parent. This is the worst nightmare. And it's no good ending to this. The ending is, how can we make sure this never happens again? What can we do as far as the Florida law to make it, okay, when something happens, how do you still have a gun permit as we work through the system? I mean, is something wrong with this picture? It's not the kind of picture we want for our state, for our community, for our country. This is an international incident. How do we deal with this? How do we work together as a community so that we can move forward? And we're not there yet.
Representative Corrine Brown represents Florida's 3rd congressional district. She is a Democrat. That is the district in which this shooting involving Trayvon Martin took place. And she was kind enough to join us here in our Washington, D.C. studios. Congresswoman, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to join us. And we hope we'll speak again about this important issue. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.